Today, Luke shows his hand in satire here from Acts chapter 14. We can see that the people of Lycaonia must have been in a terrible state. They thought that religion had to do with wonders, marvels, miracles, noises from heaven, and the crashing appearances of gods. So, of course, when Paul falls into the trap of reaching out to the crippled man out of love and compassion, the people of Lycaonia see this as a great sign from above, that Zeus is among them, that the gods are now walking with them, and that they had to offer sacrifice to appease the gods, and of course keep all this healing there in the city for their own sake and for their own good. The scene, if we allow it to play in our minds, almost looks like a scene from a satirical movie, where people are running after the latest miracle, or even the latest perceived miracle. In fact, to me, this scene from the Acts of the Apostles calls to mind no less than that wonderful Monty Python satire of such religious frivolity as The Life of Brian. Of course, many people may be upset if I say that, but ultimately The Life of Brian is not a satire on Jesus. It is a satire on our attitudes when they come a little bit too close to the attitudes of the people of Lycaonia. Expecting miracles, expecting wonders, expecting the crashing voices, and seeing them all over the place, even in the places where they are not. And so our desire for novelty and our desire for the latest Hollywood blockbuster as lived out in our own lives can often lead us to this impossible search for God as a search for the God of spectacle, as the search for a God of just miracles. And when they don't happen, and when we do not find that spectacular, earth-shaking, mountain-crashing God, our faith may appear broken. And so much of the life of faith, we see these things that lead themselves so easily to satire, as people run after the latest miracle. A scene from The Life of Brian comes to mind, where the main character Brian drops his sandal, and immediately you have a crowd running after the sacred sandal and setting up rituals, and within 3 minutes there's already a schism. And that's it. When we focus our attention and our hopes on what is ephemeral, on what is transient, and what is not truly and really God, we are liable to fall apart into fractious groups, into argumentative or even murderous groupings, as we clutch to the relics of a spectacular expectation of faith. Even St. Thomas remarks on this, not directly though, but when he talks about our human nature as fully restored through grace and through the sacraments, yet still liable, and this, the word he uses is concupiscence, still liable to a warped desire. And for Thomas, the desire is simply this, that we desire what is ephemeral and passing and temporary, and we often miss then placing our desire in God, the eternal, the gracious, the compassionate, the open to human needs God. Because our desire for the crashing thunder and the spectacular healings often misses the point and the perspective of seeing the real strong action of God at work in the world at work in the mundane. And the real integrity and restoration, the fundamental healing that God offers us. And also wonderfully in today's readings, where our faith should be pointed and should be pouring its energy and its desire is given to us by Jesus in the Gospel. That it be that very simple, that unspectacular love of God in Christ that leads us to shape our lives according to the Beloved. And Jesus places it in that order. If you love me, then you will obey my words. And when we find ourselves wandering a little bit in disobedience, we mustn't get hung up on the very acts of disobedience. We mustn't get hung up on the things that go wrong, but rather we must simply look at the love that we have and find a way of opening our heart a little bit more, because it is the love that gives rise to obedience. And one sees here that Jesus is simply in the line of the great prophets of the Old Testament. The book of Deuteronomy, which is really what happens when prophecy becomes law and becomes direction. The great law there is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And we know that if we do this soul-giving to God, then we shall worship the Lord our God alone. We shall honor what he has asked us to do. We shall give respect to our parents. We shall not lie and cheat and do all those other things. They all depend in the root of loving. And love is such an ordinary and prosaic thing. It is really such a part of our lives. Yet so often we keep on running after the temporary, the ephemeral. We keep on placing our desires in all sorts of external signs and manifestations, which means that we can miss the real love of which we are capable and the real love that people are offering us. And that real love is then the worship and the will of God. Jesus calls us back to something very simple, something very mundane, something which is not at all spectacular. The simple giving of love, as we are capable, a giving to one another, a giving of that love to God, which then opens our life to those places where God truly and really is at work, in the mundane and even in the secular. All it takes is this love. And if the love gives rise to a miracle, yes, we can thank God for it. And we can thank the prayers and the love that make it possible. However, if we keep on looking for these miracles and these expressions of things to validate our love, then we are looking in the wrong place. We have placed our desire in the wrong place. We are running after a sandal. Whereas our task and our call is to embrace the risen Christ, to feel the wounded arms and the wounded side pressing us close to the whole heart, a heart beating with love. Even in the smallest love we are capable of, the smallest love that our weak and burdened lives might have made us capable of giving. in that is the greatest miracle. The presence of God, bringing hope and bringing joy to others. Amen.